Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you trusting fully in His grace? This hour, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood?
We could take a moment tonight and let a few of you.
Hallelujah.
Yes,
to believe you
God
to visit us in this place.
Yourself.
Go with me to 2 Timothy. I'm going to preach the word tonight first. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll find some marvelous passages. I want to preach on 7 reasons to love the Bible. 7 reasons to love the Bible. This sermon is right out of my heart, and I'm really kind of excited. In fact, I've already decided I'm going to do a program on this Saturday, 7 Reasons to Love the Bible, and I'm going to specifically say the King James Version of the Bible, for it is indeed a pure version. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hath been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, Listen now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now listen, I want to read those last two verses again. When you understand the purpose of the Holy Bible, you understand how important it is in the church and to the people of God. This says it so clearly. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman, man of God, that word man is a term for both male and female, that the man and men and women of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I'm preaching tonight on seven reasons to love the Bible. You may be seated. Seven reasons to love the King James Version of the Bible. If you can do a little research and learn how most of those false Christian doctrines and messages and theologies have a united hatred of the King James Version of the Bible. They despise it because it goes right back to the originals and is indeed a perfect scripture. As I've studied through the years the different reasons for discarding the King James Bible and moving to other versions of the scripture, it has been clear to me over and over. The reason is the great truth that is so clear in our Bible, the great perfection of our Bible. And I'll give you those seven reasons that I think are very, very viable and absolutely dependable, Now, what you need to know is the King James Bible goes back to something very, very important. When I say to somebody, my love of the Bible, I never say I'm a King James Bible lover. I never say that, because actually our love of the King James Bible goes back to the text from which it came, which is the Textus Receptus Greek and the Masoretic Hebrew. The Masoretic Hebrew is the Old Testament. The Textus Receptus is the New Testament. One is Greek and one is Hebrew. And those two ancient scriptures bear the background of our King James Bible. They absolutely, from 97-98% of all manuscripts available, everything back there from the time of the Bible to right now that's available, 97-96% of it is in the King James Bible and supports the King James Bible. And there's just a few of those manuscripts that they've used to give us these modern versions. Just very little of the background of the Bible is used in the NIV and the distorted versions of the scripture. Now remember this, but 96-97% are from the real, all of what's available out there, and there's several thousand pieces. Some different versions, some different manuscripts, some different contexts. But all of them, 96-97%, support our King James Bible. So the ground we stand on is really marvelous. It's miraculous. It's wonderful. There's no reason to change. But for the changes themselves and the effect they've had upon the church. Now, let me give you my nine reasons. I'll not try to preach as long as normal, maybe, because the crowd's small, but I don't guarantee that, because this subject is a marvelous subject. Number one, it is a perfect book. It is a perfect book. When you hold a King James Bible in your hand and you just think about it, you're dealing with a book that is so perfect until it has been hated and it has been attacked. It has been ferociously treated, and yet it stands the test and has stood the test all the way through those attacks. And still, it's intact. Our Bible today, the King James Version of the Holy Scripture, and it's a perfect book. I cannot tell you the times on Open Bible Dialogue, and you know that program is now 46, 47 years old. How many times I've had attacks, and I've had questions, and I've had people to say, have you considered this reason why it's not perfect? Have you considered this reason? And I've researched every one of them to the best of my ability, and I can stand here tonight and tell you we have a perfect Bible in the King James Version of the Holy Scripture. Now, you say, what if somebody has a Spanish version of the Bible? Well, there are Spanish versions that go back to the Textus Receptus and the Masoretic, just like we have the English version that goes back. So any Bible in any language on the face of God's earth that has as its background and its translation the Textus Receptus of the Masoretic Hebrew is then indeed a perfect book. So the Bible can be perfect in any language on the face of this earth. And so any person looking for a Bible in a particular language just has to go and find one that is translated from the Textus Receptus, from the Greek. I have a copy of that Textus Receptus Greek. I have a copy of that Masoretic Hebrew. They are perfect. They are the perfect background of any Bible that is translated from that background. Isn't that wonderful? So it doesn't matter. It isn't just the King James that's perfect. It's any language in the face of the earth that is translated from the Textus Receptus. That's the Greek name of the text in which the King James comes from. The Masoretic, that's the Hebrew name. I'll never forget one Saturday I was doing Open Bible Dialogue, and one of my friends who is deep in research, he can speak Hebrew and Greek better than I can speak English, and he's been researching the Dead Sea Scrolls. Have you ever heard of them? Dead Sea Scrolls out of the area of those caves near the Dead Sea. All of this is Old Testament material. And I said to him on the radio, does the Dead Sea Scrolls authenticate the King James Version of the Bible, or do they authenticate the new versions of the Bible? And he said to me, Joe Chambers, I knew you was going to ask me that question, and I must confess to you, it is indeed the King James Bible that those manuscripts from the Dead Sea Scrolls, what they authenticate, what they support. And so, I mean, it's just a universal kind of thing. You can argue with it. You can get people debating it, but they don't have an ounce of ground to stand on. And, you know, I'm not talking just from somebody that loves the Bible, but somebody who gave my best to it, gave my best to learn, to know, to discover. So the King James Version of the Bible is wonderful because it's a perfect book. It's a perfect book. You can believe every word you read. Keep it in context. Don't take things out of context. Keep it in the right language in which it's speaking, and you can believe every word of your Bible. So the reason tonight you should love your Bible is you have a perfect book. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, can you imagine in this crazy world of ours with everything topsy-turvy, everything going awry, that you have a Bible that you can say this is a perfect book? You tell anybody you meet, anywhere you go, my Bible has a background in a Greek and Hebrew text that makes it a perfect Bible, makes it a perfect book that I can depend on every word. I don't have to go through mark this out and mark that out and mark that out and say that's been changed and that's different and that's the right. No, you have it right here in your Bible. in your Bible. Hallelujah. There's a multitude of people who believe that. I'm here to tell you, we'll find out next Saturday, of course, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people. I know the shift is taking place, and I know the numerical number of supporters of KJV has decreased as the years have come and gone. The newer generation have been schooled in the new stuff, but the older generation, we still hold on to the whole truth of God's Word. It'll change your life. It'll do things for you. It'll make you something you never imagined. So it is a perfect book. Your King James Bible is a perfect book. You know, that is wonderful. That is wonderful. It came. Now listen. It came directly from God. This Bible came directly from God. Holy men of God spake and wrote as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. Holy men of God spake and wrote as they were moved of the Spirit of God. It's thrilling to know that our Bible came straight from God. It really is. It's thrilling to know that our Bible came straight from God. The book of Hebrews, Jesus authenticates this. I'm sorry, the book of Matthew. What did I say? The book of Matthew, chapter 5. Jesus said it. Jesus said it. Now listen to what he said. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle in the laws of God, not one jot and one tittle shall in any wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Jesus said it. Not one jot or one tittle shall pass from the law and the prophets till all be fulfilled. Now, for the Son of God, full of the Holy Ghost himself, for him to stand and say to the people of his day, not a jot or tittle. A jot is like the dot of an I, and a tittle is like the cross of a T. I mean, just a little grammatical kind of sign shall not pass till all be fulfilled. I love when the Lord says things like that. Wherefore, shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Now that's Jesus talking. And he's talking about the Bible, the Holy Scripture. And those people in that day had treated the Bible with such reverence, it was overwhelming. And Jesus said, not a jot or a tittle shall pass till all be fulfilled. God talking to us in the Bible. You have a Bible that you can pick it up and you can say, this is God talking to me. And you can remember, anybody who shuts this Bible, just shut the mouth of God. You shut your Bible and you quit listening, I promise you, you're shutting the mouth of God. For God cannot lie. God is faithful. God doesn't fail. God is always right on target. God is as pure as the heavens are pure. Listen to me, church. You can believe the Word of God. You can believe the Word of God. It came directly from God by the Holy Ghost. It came directly from God by the Holy Ghost. Would you say that with me? It came directly from God by the Holy Ghost. That's the Bible. That's the Holy Word of God. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. It's wonderful. And it's glorious. Now, the next thing I want you to hear about the Bible, it is a perfect picture of the holiness of God. It is a perfect picture of the holiness of God and the holiness which God requires of us. You don't have to wonder about what holiness is if you read the Bible. because it's a perfect picture. And doesn't matter if you start in the old and go to the new, or start in the new and move back to the old. You start in Genesis, or Revelation, or Matthew, or Zechariah, or Daniel. You'll find the same great standard of holiness in every book of the Bible. Is that not thrilling? Is that not thrilling? Every book, 66 books of the Bible, and every last one of them teach exactly the same kind of righteousness and holiness and purity as another book teaches. Every book, from one end to the other, the Bible is a perfect picture of the holiness of God. The Bible is a perfect picture of the holiness of God. I say it with all my heart. I would the world could hear me say it. The Bible is a perfect picture of the holiness of God. I will declare that until breath is gone from this body. The Bible is a perfect picture of the holiness of God. What a God we serve. There's a perfect picture of the holiness of God. You want to know what holiness is? Just read this Bible. You want to know what God expects out of you and your conduct? How God wants you to dress? How God wants you to talk? If you want to know the kind of attitude God wants you to reflect in your daily walk and your daily life, just read your Bible. You want to know what God expects, and you want to know how great it is to live it, and how prosperous God makes those. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not perish, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. If you live a holy life, you will prosper. If you live a holy life, you will have victory. If you live a holy life, you will be blessed. Amen. What's it called? Glory. Would you raise your hand and love on him? Father, I love you for your holiness tonight. I love you because your holiness is so perfectly manifest in your holy Bible. I love you because I don't have to wonder what God expects of me. I have it written in the holy book. Hallelujah. Isn't that marvelous? All written down for me. Hallelujah. Telling me how to live. Telling me how to talk. Telling me how to dress. Telling me how to live my life. Hallelujah. It's a perfect picture of the holiness of God. A perfect picture of the holiness of God. Oh, how I love his holiness. Oh, how I love his holiness. Oh, how I love his wonderful, marvelous holiness. Beyond all measure, beyond all grasp, beyond all understanding. I love the holiness of God. I love the holiness of God. Now, the Bible is full of prophecy. The Bible doesn't just deal with the past and the present, but the Bible deals with the future. There's much in the Bible that looks beyond the hour and the moment in which God's talking. It looks beyond it and sees the prophetic picture. And could you study? Could you learn? Can I tell you that every prophecy that has ever been given from the Bible up to this present hour has been perfectly fulfilled? Not one prophecy has ever fallen. Not one thing has ever missed. Everything has been fulfilled. The Bible said much about Jesus. The Bible said much about him. Oh, yes. It said much about things that happened in his crucifixion, in his death. Every one of them were perfectly fulfilled without a failure. It's overwhelming. God gave prophecies to Israel, some of the most grand of their prophecies, and they were fulfilled step by step, time after time. In the early days of Israel, they became neglectful of the Sabbath day, and they quit keeping the Sabbath day. And for 490 years, they broke God's Sabbath day regularly. They lived contrary to what God had designed was the life to be lived on the Sabbath day. And after so long, God gave a prophecy that I'm going to make you repay to me every Sabbath day you stole. I'm going to put you in bondage. And for every one of those days, you will be in bondage. And Israel was carried away into Babylon, and for 70 years, you divide 490 by 7, and it's 70 years, and they spent 70 years in bondage because they defiled the Lord's day for 490 years. And when the 490 years was reduced to 70 years, and old Daniel was down in Babylon where he had been for 70 years, and he began to pray. He had gone to the Bible, and he had found the scripture that God was going to keep him in bondage 70 years. And so Daniel began to pray and began to confess to God that the 70 years was over, and it was time to go back home to the maiden country. And go back to Jerusalem. And what did God do? God prepared men in the heathen kingdoms, men of faith, men of renown, and God sent them back to rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the temple when the 70 years was over. God's Bible is perfect in prophecy. You can't find one prophecy that hasn't been fulfilled unless it's those of which we are now looking for and waiting on. Isn't that breathtaking? I mean, it's breathtaking to me that you can take a Bible, 6,000 years of human history, and you can take all the prophecies that you find written in that Bible, and you can go through them one by one, step by step, great truth by great truth, and you never find one that God hasn't kept perfectly and orderly at the right time, and God will keep the ones that are yet lacking, that we are going to see the fulfillment of. Would you mind raising a hand and thank God for that kind of God that we serve, that has a perfect Bible, and it's your Bible to read and hold in your hand? You know, the Catholic Church was so determined to keep this Bible out of human hands except their priesthood. They murdered how many people? I read of one great man who helped bring the Bible to us, and he died before they could get their hands on him. And so they went and dug up his ashes and burned them with fire just to say to that man, we hate what you did. And all he did was help pave the way for you and I to have a personal Bible and not have to depend on their priest whom they had deceived into thinking things contrary to the Bible. God has took care of his people, and God has kept his word through all the generations. Woo, hallelujah. I hope I'm preaching like I got a multitude, because that's what I'm doing. Hallelujah. Well, you know, that's just the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. God's word is dependable. It is actual. It is true. It's faithful. You can trust it. You can love it. You can live by it, because it never faileth. It never faileth. Oh, hallelujah. Every prophecy has been fulfilled. Now, let me take you further. Every scientific discovery, every ethological discovery, everything that the people digging, those who are doing archaeologists, couldn't get the word out. The archaeologists have discovered everything they've discovered has always fit perfectly with the Bible. Let me tell you a new one I've just been digging. I've been studying about ancient Sodom and Gomorrah. Did the program yesterday on Sodom and Gomorrah, the last city of Sodom and Gomorrah, soon to be burned by fire. And as I was studying, I got into on the internet and found a site called the Shalot Expedition. I forgot the second word. Anyhow, a Shalot archaeologist, actually. And they're digging over there in the area at the south end of the Dead Sea. And they are studying the ancient cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And what do you know? They have found even the graveyards in the city of Sodom. They found the graveyards where multitudes of people were buried. I looked at a picture yesterday where they found dwelling places that were destroyed by fire. And they found people, the skeletons of people huddled together in the buildings with ashes all over them where they had burned in the fire of Sodom and Gomorrah's destruction many, many years ago. And so they quote a lot of the people who have decried this truth. And many have been the so-called scholars who said Sodom and Gomorrah was nothing but a myth, just a mythological idea that people conjured up to support their disagreement with Sodomite lifestyle. And I read some of these quotes and, oh, how angry they are and how they try their best to prove there never was a Sodom and Gomorrah. But these archaeologists have found the ruins, and they even have an invitation in May of this coming year 20 of people to come and be part of an expedition and be part of an archaeological dig and be part of looking at the ruins of ancient Sodom and Gomorrah, because they're right there exactly where the Bible said they were, at the southern end of the Dead Sea. It had been covered by water for many years, but the water has receded, and now the visibility of that area is fully open, and they are documenting and proving that what the scientists have found is nothing but proof that the Bible is true. Hallelujah. How would you lift a hand and say, thank you, Lord, that even the secular world cannot doubt it. The secular world cannot doubt it. It is absolutely as real as it's ever been. It's proven, hallelujah, that God is God, and this earth is His, and it will not be destroyed by man, but God's in control. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, church, isn't God wonderful? Right there. So scientists have done nothing but document the Bible. Now, there have been periods when they thought they found this and they thought they learned that. For long years, they thought the whole material about Jordan being being destroyed by Jordan is right, isn't it? I'm trying to say the name of the city that was destroyed and the walls fell in during the days of Israel crossing over into the promised land. Well, we can prove to now that new archaeologists have come along and they've said, wait, these folks who denied that happened biblically, they were just wrong. And they give the proof over and over and over that that city was destroyed by Joshua and his great army, just like the Bible said. And they've even found the fire coals. They found all the supply of food burned and parched in different areas of that particular place, just exactly like the Bible said it happened. Folks, I'm telling you, scientists have proven our Bible. They really have. I was reading some time ago, it's been several years now, and there were some men flying over the desert from Saudi Arabia, going over toward Kuwait, the southern extremes of Iraq, which is where the Garden of Eden was, and where the early people were first placed there by God. And they were looking, and they saw what looked like a riverbed coming in and out of the sand, all the way for hundreds of miles toward Saudi Arabia. And so they got to studying. And they found it all the way over past Kuwait into southern Iraq, the same riverbed, and it goes all the way nearly to Saudi Arabia. And at the end of it is a mine where they still find and dig gold, a very rich gold mine. And that's exactly what you have in your Bible when it talks about the cities that flowed out of the Garden of Eden in the days of Adam and Eve. It named the rivers, and so they've named this one riverbed Pison. And they say, indeed, that's the river of Pison that flowed out of the Garden of Eden and flowed all the way over in the desert where there was a gold mine and much gold. And again, the scientists, the archaeologists, those studying the anthropological days, they're finding just like God said. The Bible is the Word of God. Oh, that's why you ought to love the Bible. Are you hearing me? You ought to love the Bible because really, really, the scientists and the archaeologists have proven it. Oh, yeah, there's still some people deny it. There are people who fight against these kind of ideas. But it's a losing game for them. Oh, it's a losing game because God is a faithful God. Did you know that God is a faithful God? Every scientific fact. Now, let me get to something a little more spiritual. The Bible is to be loved because it feeds your soul. You have never picked up a book. There's no such thing as a book that you can read and read it for a while and get started digging in it and find it satisfying way down inside and feed in your very soul. Hallelujah. After all these years, I've never grown beyond what happens when I read the Bible. When I read the Bible, I go to getting full. It don't take but a little while. I've never been able to read one chapter through without getting shouting happy. Never. I don't ever remember reading a chapter through without getting shouting happy because the Bible feeds the soul. If you want a proof that the Bible is real, learn to read your Bible. And you'll find yourself being fed. You'll find the joy of the Lord springing up inside of you. You'll find a satisfaction that this world knows nothing about that comes from reading the Word of God. The Bible satisfies the soul. I said the Bible satisfies the soul. What a truth. What a truth. And last of these seven, I want you to make sure you hear this. The Bible will transform the soul of any sinner that begins to search and read the Bible. You can't get a sinner man, a sinner woman, to read the Bible very long until they begin to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Until they began to realize, my, this Bible invites me to God. I've told the story of that drunkard over at the East Belmont at that golf course, really. And he was out there in the woods. His sister was a Christian, and he was an alcoholic and had lived a drunkard life for years. And he called her one day and said, I just have got to know something about God. I'm over here. I'm in a terrible condition, and I need to know God. And so she called me and said, would you go help my brother? I said, yeah, I'll be glad to. So I called him on the telephone. He's out there in the woods. He's got a cell phone that she's provided to him, or did have then. And he answered, and I said, hey, man, Gene. His name was Gene. I said, Gene, I want to come over and talk to you. Your sister says you want to find God. He said, no, Reverend, I ain't letting nobody come over here and see me in my condition. No, 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 I can't stand it. But you can tell me what to do, and I'll do it. I said, read the book of John on your knees. You take the book of John, you get over there beside your stump or wherever you got around you, and you start reading John. Don't stop one time. You just read it slowly and read it for a week and 2 weeks. And just keep reading your Bible. It wasn't long till he called me one day and said, Brother Chambers, I saw the Lord today in the scripture, and I've given him my life, and I've been saved. And now he's been living for God for years. May still be living. Maybe did. I don't know. It's been a long time ago, but he got saved. He got saved, and his testimony goes on and on. I've heard from him at other times. He lived for God because all he had to do was read that Bible on his knees in the woods. And he read the Bible, and it transformed his life. The Bible would do that. It don't matter how terrible a sinner is. It don't matter if he's the meanest rascal in town. It don't matter how bad, how awful, how terrible he's lived. It don't matter if he hates everybody and he's full of filth. If he reads the Bible with a genuine heart, I promise you, saints of God, it's not going to be long until something begins to happen in that man's life. The Bible will transform you. And if you're a Christian, it will keep transforming you. And it will build you and grow you. And you'll go sweeter and deeper and richer. And the Christian life will ever get more wonderful by reading the Bible. Seven reasons why you must love the Bible. seven reasons why it would be impossible for me not to love the Bible. I just never get tired of it. I never get weary of it. I love the Holy Bible. I love it because God got me in it and taught me. And when I started reading the Bible, I couldn't even read. I had to learn to read verse by verse, word by word. Oh, I remember looking up words, trying to learn to read. And slowly but surely, the Bible became open to my heart. Oh, I'm so grateful this very night that I love the Bible. Nine reasons now. One, it's a perfect book. Number two, remember now, it is divinely given by God, straight from the Father. Number three, it is a perfect look at holiness and the pure and godly life. Number four, it is absolutely every prophecy but fulfilled. There's never a place where something was said was going to happen that it didn't happen. Nothing, except the last few things that we're facing right now. Why do I believe in the pre-trib rapture? Because the Bible prophesied it, and everything the Bible has ever prophesied got fulfilled in due time, and it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. What a day. What a blessed, wonderful day. So don't forget every prophecy, and then every scientific fact has been authenticated, and nothing discovered, nothing that's done, nothing can prove one thing about the Bible being wrong. Being in error. Think about this. The Bible says that the earth is covered with a light. That Jesus is the light of the world. That's what the Bible says. Jesus is the light of the world. That's not just a spiritual statement. That's a literal statement. Jesus is the light of the world. No question about it. Well, the reason your cell phone can operate is because the signal moves in that light pattern that covers the earth. And your signal on your cell phone can be picked up on the other side of the globe. I call my Andrew on my phone and I can see his face. Don't have to have a wire connected between him and I. I do it right on the cell phone without any connection to anything but the cell phone itself and the equipment of it. And traveling through the light that God has encircling this globe, that signal goes straight to Germany and can be picked up by my son, my grandson, and we can see each other's face. What in the world? Where does such energy and such glory comes from? The Creator. God made this world and he said, I'm the light of the world. Hallelujah. Did you know that your earth turns in a rotation and moves across the atmosphere, but it never loses its polarity toward the North Pole? The earth never, I don't care how many miles it travels through this great universe, it keeps a polarity with the North Pole. Keeps an exact hook on the North Pole because heaven is in the northern sphere and Jesus is the light of the world. And if you could take that earth out of its polarity, the lights would go out and everything would be dark because God made it that way. And we inherit and share the glory of such a great God. Do you know your Bible is actually the book that tells us all this? Did you know your Bible is that full of scientific truth and marvelous spiritual truths and prophetic truths? I mean, it's just loaded. The Bible is a perfect book. The Bible is a perfect book. You know, most ministers have never studied these kind of things in which they could stand up here and preach what I preach to you tonight. They really haven't. And it's a shame. Because every bit of it is proven. Every bit of it is perfect. Every bit of it is right. Not an error anywhere to bear. Because the Bible is the perfect Word of God. Now, with all of that said, how many of you love the Bible? I mean, you love it with all your heart. If you love the Bible with all your heart, would you stand up? Would you stand up and say, Brother Chambers, I promise you, I'm going to love this Bible more than ever. I mean, everything I've said is just true. You know that. Brother Chambers don't preach things that aren't true. I'm not sure I preach enough of this kind of thing. You know, because I'm telling you, the Bible is the perfect Word of God. The Bible, you can believe every iota of it. It's yea and amen. And I could read many scriptures. I didn't try because I want to give you these facts. You know what the Bible said? We are one blessed people. We love the Word of God. Sister Hope, we love the Bible. We've got to make sure our students learn how great the Bible is. How great the Bible is. How perfect the Bible is. Sister Ginger, we probably need, I wish somebody would do some digging on that great learning of Sodom and Gomorrah. Go on your internet when you get home and look up the Shiloh, S-H-I-L-O-H, I believe it is, Shiloh expedition. It's a city in Israel named Shiloh. That's where their headquarters is, and they're studying the archaeological results of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And there's many other studies going on over there that are equal. And they all, every time, prove the Bible to be the perfect Word of God. Do you love Him? Tell God how much you love His Bible. Father, I love Your Bible. Father, I love Your Bible. I love this holy book with all of my heart. And I give everything I am to it. Put all I am in it. I will never turn from this holy Bible. Till the last breath is gone from this body, I'm going to be preaching this holy Bible. Did you hear me? Till the last breath is gone, I'm going to be preaching this holy Bible. Hallelujah. Learn to love it. Study these things. Study these things. Oh, I wish we could get some students in our school to help me in some of these things. I'd like somebody would dig into the scientific facts that support the Bible. You'll find that very words on the internet. And there's many, many people, scholars, who've had more experiences than I've ever had or ever will have, who have documented all of this. And there's just nothing of the Bible to doubt. Nothing to doubt. Nothing to doubt. You know why the new versions are so big with people? It's because they support false doctrine. For instance, the doctrine of Jesus only. The greatest scripture in the Bible supporting the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, is in 1 John. And the NIV took it out, threw it away. In the NIV, even Joseph, the husband of Mary, didn't know her until Jesus was born.